This is Bill McClure for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and welcome to another edition of Take My Arm.
This is Richard Dunnigan. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and is prepared with the assistance of print and visually impaired volunteers.
And this is Bob Martin. And I just realized what a great city we live in.
Well, Bob, Raleigh is a nice place to live.
No, not just a nice place to live in, but great.
Why is the city so great for you?
Well, it must be great. A famous man in England was named after the city.
Who was that?
Sir Walter Raleigh. Sir Walter Raleigh? And Raleigh, North Carolina. He was named after our city.
Wait a minute, Bob. Sir Walter Raleigh lived between 1554 and 1618. Raleigh, North Carolina didn't come into existence until 1792.
I knew that.
So what does that tell you?
That Sir Walter Raleigh's parents knew how great our city was going to become, and so named him after our city even before we were here. Now, that's great.
What?
That's why he came to visit us.
Wait a minute, Bob.
Think about our county, too.
What about our county?
Well, Wake County didn't come into an existence until 1772. But Margaret Wake Tryon, the wife of the provincial governor, William Tryon, was named after the county years before. What a great county!
William Tryon was born in 1729, and Wake County came into existence in 1772. Does that make you think of anything?
It sure does.
What?
William Tryon's wife was a lot more important than he was. She was named after an entire county. Her husband only was named after a street in Cary.
Bob, before you go any further...
Too late. Wait until you hear this. In 1845, North Carolina opened the Institute for the Education of the Deaf, the Dumb, and the Blind. In 1905, the name was changed to... the State School for the Deaf and the Blind, and then in 1913, land was purchased for the school adjacent to Poland Park. Then, in 1963, the name was changed again. Now it became the Governor Morehead School.
I know. I was a student there.
Well, just think about it, Bill.
I'm thinking.
On July 4th, 1796, a child was born in Pennsylvania County, Virginia. On Independence Day, and he was named John Motley Morehead. How great is that?
Bob.
And his parents even knew he was going to grow up and become the governor of North Carolina. The Governor Morehead School, and he was named after it. Now, how great is that?
We truly appreciate your enthusiasm, Bob, but you got things all backwards.
What things?
About Raleigh? Wake County, Tryon Road, and the Governor Morehead School.
Yes, those people weren't named after the city, the county, the street, and the school. Those things were named after the people.
They were?
Trust us. How can people be named for things that don't exist?
I don't know.
Think of the Governor Morehead School. If John Motley Morehead had not become governor of the state... and if he hadn't been so interested in education, he would never have been in the position to found the school. And if he didn't take very seriously the needs of visually impaired students, people would not have named the school in honor of him.
Naming something after someone, like a city or a county or a school, is a tribute to their accomplishments. People aren't named for a city or a county or street or school that might come into existence years later. They all become respected for some accomplishment and were so honored by having something named after them.
Gee, I didn't think of that. But that causes another problem.
And what is that?
Does the city of Charlotte still have her web?
I think it's time to meet a recent graduate of the Morehead School, Kristen Miller.
Kristen, welcome to our program today.
Thank you.
Tell us about yourself.
Well, my name is Kristen Miller. And I am 21, soon to be 22. I have been visually impaired since I was 3 years old as a result of a pituitary tumor. I am from Wilson, North Carolina. I have a half-brother and a half-sister, both younger than me.
Okay, tell us about your education.
For my first 6.5 years of school, I was public school, mainstream. And then... In March of 2001, I left public school to go to the Governor Moorhead School as a result of not being able to acquire the materials I needed to get through school as a mainstream student. And I graduated from Governor Moorhead in 2008 and went on to do a year at Wilson Tech and then a second year of college at Wake Technical Community College.
Good. What did you study in college?
I started out as a psychology major and then decided that I wanted to be a law major. Then I decided that I wanted to be a therapist for people with disabilities, and I wanted to work with animals, do the kind of like what they do with autistic children, and sometimes they'll use horse therapy and that type of thing. I wanted to do that. Then I looked into doing counseling type jobs, such as like division of services for the blind, maybe a counselor like that. Ultimately, I really haven't settled on one decision yet, so right now that's kind of where I am.
Tell us about your experiences at the Governor Moorhead School, particularly if you could compare those with your experiences in public school.
As far as Governor Moorhead compared to public school was very difficult for me because I wasn't able to get the assistance I needed or the materials I needed to get through my work and be able to keep up with the rest of the students, and the teachers and other staff didn't really seem to care if I got what I needed or not. After that, my parents decided that the Governor Moorhead School would be better for me because they had the materials, they had the teachers that were trained to work with visually impaired students, and that I would receive a better education from there. I got to Governor Moorhead, and it was a big change for me considering I was 11 years old. I had been at home with my parents all of that time and had never really been around a whole lot of other people that had the same disability that I did. So it was definitely a change. And also because it was a residential school, I stayed on campus from Sunday night till Friday afternoons. It became easier. The other students there made it a lot easier for me to kind of get used to things. They were very nice. Teachers, since they knew what they were doing, made it easier for me to learn. I guess you could say I quickly fell into being okay there. It was definitely a lot easier going since everything was the way it should have been for me.
Did you participate in some extracurricular activities at the Governor Moorhead School?
I was a cheerleader for 2 or 3 years, and we did competitions in Philadelphia and New York. Both times we came in first place.
Good.
I was more interested in chorus and art and that type of thing, so I was entered in a few art shows and didn't do anything extremely spectacular, but it was fun, and we did some chorus competitions, and we came in first for that as well.
How was your interaction between the students? For instance, the student population at the Governor Moorhead School is now pretty diverse as far as the different types of handicaps that they have.
Over the time I was there, it became more so that the students that came there were not just blind or visually impaired. They did have other handicaps. As far as getting along with them and, you know, including them in things, everybody, you know, did the same things. Everybody, for the most part, got along. I mean, when you have that many kids in one area, there's going to be disagreements. But for the most part, we all got along. We all did what was offered for us. And the children with other disabilities beyond vision, you know, had things modified for them so that they could do them. So they tried to include everybody as much as possible, which was a good thing.
What types of artwork did you do?
I like doing sculptures. I love clay, working with clay, and anything that comes out 3D. I did a lot of paper mache work, clay. I've done some painting, but it's not my favorite thing to do. I'd much rather make things that other people can put their hands on and know what it is. And there was a few other pieces like that. I believe, were sent to the Helen Keller Art Show. And I believe I came in second place in that.
Very good. Well, one thing I haven't asked you, tell us about your hobbies.
Oh boy, how long do you have? I love to be outside. I love to horseback ride, camping, swimming, hiking. I love to go fishing, being out on the boat, anything outside. I love music. I love to sing. I love animals of all kinds. I've had everything from lizards and mice as pets to horses and dogs and cats. So when I say all kinds, I mean it. I love computers, so anything on the computer I like to do, and I love to read.
What type of assistive technology do you use to access the computer?
I do use my laptop with JAWS. I've also recently gotten into the Apple devices. I have an iPod, an iPhone, and an iPad. They all have VoiceOver on them, so they're pretty accessible. There are a few things that VoiceOver, you know, can't do, but it doesn't hinder me too much. You can get on the internet with them. You can play music. You can do all kinds of things with them. So they're pretty accessible. They even have a Bluetooth keyboard now for the iPad that makes it look just like one of the Mac computers. But for the most part, I use my Dell laptop and my iDevices.
You read Braille, correct?
Yes.
How do you see yourself using Braille versus the computer?
I'm pretty good at Braille. I haven't used it a lot in the last couple of years because once I went to college, of course, there wasn't a way to put my textbooks in Braille, and even if there had been, that would have been way too many volumes to lug around campus.
Yes.
So most of my book reading was done through JAWS. My colleges scanned my books and put them onto CDs that I could put into the computer and read them in Word documents so that I could, you know, I had them to read that way. But I did receive an embosser from the Vision of Services for the Blind. If there were small things that I needed in Braille or I thought I could do better studying in Braille, I was able to print them out myself. But I haven't really used it a lot in the last 2 or 3 years. So I'm definitely slower at reading it now than I was before. But I've always been a Braille reader and I've always been relatively good at it. There were times in school where the Braille teacher would ask me to help her teach a student to read Braille. So I guess
good.
That's a plus in my favor there.
Yes, I would say so. Now, when you were a student at school, did you learn to write with the Slayton stylus or a Perkins Brailler? Or what did you use to write Braille?
I've used both. I've also used the Braille and Speak, the Braille Note, and the Braille Light. Kind of played around with the Pac-Mate. Most people kind of laugh at me when I tell them that I actually prefer my Slayton stylus over quite a few of those. I'm not very fast on it, but it's quieter and it's easier to carry around, especially when I was in college. If I needed to write something down quickly or something, it was right there, and I'm pretty sure no teacher or other student's going to want a Perkins Brailler going while they're trying to take notes either. Braille and Speaks and that type of thing, they are good to use. I have used them, gotten a lot of use out of them, actually. But if I write something down in Braille, normally these days I use a Slayton stylus.
Kristen, tell us about some of the available services that you're aware of and also which ones of these you use.
Well, as far as the school educational things go, I know Division of Services for the Blind, a lot of people just say DSB. I know that they're there for helping to pay for schooling if needed or helping to get assistive technology to help you get through school. I have used them to get technology. They got me my first laptop for when I first started college. They also got a Braille embosser, a inkjet printer, a talking dictionary. The Franklin Speller is what that's called. An Olympus digital recorder so that I could record my classes and go back and listen to them later. quite a few things. A Victor Stream, a scientific calculator for math class, which math and I have never gotten along, so I think that calculator has the best life any calculator's ever had. They helped me out quite a bit. As far as other services go, I do use the Library for the Blind here in Raleigh for my books. I use the NLS Bard site to download books and listen to them on the digital book reader. I read a lot through audio. I don't read much in Braille anymore unless I have to. I also use Audible.com, which you have to pay for, but they're not extremely expensive. You'll spend more going to bookstores and buying a book on CD than you will going to Audible and downloading it in audio.
Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share?
Just thinking back on everything I've been through with school, life in general, learning to cope, get people to help you. There are people out there that are willing to help you, but don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. Don't let anybody say, because you're blind, you can't do that. If anything, if someone tells you that, do everything you can to prove them wrong. There's even some people in my family that are just amazed at the fact that I have been out on my own for 3 years and make it perfectly fine. I travel all over Raleigh by myself, and I've been to school by myself. I've had a job and gone to and from it, you know, by myself. I've, you know, all of that. It's not that they don't think I'm capable, it's just they don't understand the world as I see it. And so therefore, it's amazing to them. But don't let anybody ever tell you you can't do it because you can't see it. It's not true.
Thank you, Kristen, for being our guest today on Take My Arm.
You're welcome.
This is Jennifer Sullender, and welcome again to the TRRS Radio Theater on the air with another episode of
Blind Justice.
With Bill McClure, Jennifer Sullender, Myra DeBruhl, and Bob Martin. Our scene opens with Jennifer and Bill at the cafe. You'll like this place, Bill, and the service is great.
I hope so. I've had some strange experiences at cafes. They aren't always very friendly for people who are sight impaired.
Here comes the waiter.
Welcome, sir. Table for two? Right this way.
There will be another person joining us.
Oh, not a problem. How about here, right next to the window? It's got a great view of the park. If you want, sir, I'll put your cane right over here next to the wall.
But I may need it to get around.
Oh, but sir, it could be a trip hazard. Some of our customers may not see as well as the rest of us.
I don't think they'd get any worse than me.
Oh, I am sorry. I didn't notice. But please, do be careful with it. Would you like to see a menu?
Dearly.
I'll be right back.
Bill, you devil.
Well, I'm in it.
Here comes Myra. Hi, Myra, and you've got Migo with you.
Of course. Wherever I go, Migo.
Bill's right over here.
I feel a warm nose on my hand. Myra must be here.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but dogs are not allowed in the restaurant.
This one is. He's a seeing eye dog.
Oh, that means you're,
hungry.
Oh, my. Two of them. Ma'am, your dog won't be wandering around the restaurant, will she?
He. I know it's sometimes difficult to tell.
He won't be wandering around?
Well, if he does, I'll make sure he uses Bill's cane.
Oh, my. Will your friends be needing menus?
I think he's talking to you.
Do you have one in Braille?
In what?
Braille.
I'm sorry. We only have menus in English. If you have any trouble with pronunciation, I will be glad to help you.
Do you have a special today?
A special? The only specials we have are those attached on page 2 of the menu. Oh, I see. I mean, well, our special today is a Western omelet.
Sounds good to me.
Me too.
I'll have the French toast.
And coffee comes free with your meal. It's serve yourself, located at the coffee bar right over there. I'll be right back with your orders.
Where's my cane? I could use some coffee.
Come on, Migo, to the coffee bar.
Oh, I did forget. Let me get it for you.
Regular.
Decaf, please. No sugar and a little cream.
Decaf. Plain. And thank you.
Oh, here you are. And I'll be right back with your orders.
How's the view in the park?
Come on, Bill. He's trying.
Let me guess. The waiter gave us a table next to the window so we could watch the people in the park.
He sure did.
Myra!
Don't worry, I won't say a thing.
Here's your breakfast orders. Anything else?
Look in the park. There are two people with seeing eye dogs, and it looks like they're coming right toward this restaurant.
What?
No, I guess not. My bad.
Oh. Yes. Enjoy. Will there be anything else?
No, thank you.
Then here are the checks, ma'am.
I think he's talking to you again.
Thanks for the treat.
Was everything satisfactory?
It was very good.
So good, in fact, I think we ought to invite our whole group down here for breakfast sometime. Will you be here next Saturday, young man?
Yes, ma'am. I'll be here.
Then let's plan on everybody next Saturday.
And how many people would that be?
About 20.
20? And they would all be bringing canes?
Not all.
Or seeing-eye dogs?
Not all.
Not all.
Well, if Margaret comes, she has a seeing-eye pony.
Oh, my.
See you next Saturday.
And so ends another chapter of...
Blind Justice.
I've been thinking some more about the Governor Moorhead School, and I'd like to ask Dr. Bill something. Do you think we could talk with him?
I don't see why not. All I have to do is say the magic words. It's time for Insights with Dr. Bill.
This is Dr. Bill. What's on your mind?
Dr. Bill, you went to the Governor Moorhead School, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I was there from the fall of 1955 to 1968.
Isn't that a coincidence? Richard, you and I know someone who was there exactly at that same time.
Who was that?
Bill McClure. Did you happen to know him back then, Dr. Bill?
Bill McClure, the musician?
He's a church organist now.
Would you believe that back in my school days at Moorhead, he and I shared the same room?
How about that, Richard? It's a small world.
Bob, they are the same person. Dr. Bill's just a character that Bill portrays on our program.
I don't know. Bill is older than what he would have been back at Moorhead.
That was back starting in 1955.
Oh, a lot older.
Never mind that. Just tell me, what's on your mind?
Tell me when you get an answer.
Well, there's been a lot of talk recently about the possibility of the Governor Moorhead School closing. Is that going to happen?
The current budget crisis in the state has certainly been an issue lately, and it has certainly affected the Moorhead School. At present, the school is still operating, but as a satellite for the Wilson campus, and the administrative offices are being relocated. Also, far fewer students are enrolled than in years past. I'm sorry to see that decline. I have some very fond memories of my years at Governor Moorhead.
What was it like being a student there?
Well, you know, Bob, I look back now with very fond memories of my years at the Governor Moorhead School. But when I was a young student, it was frightening because I came to the school when I was only 6 years old, and I'd never been away from home before, and I was being left for the first time by my parents. I was terrified. I didn't know my way around. I didn't know anybody, and I was just plain scared. But I learned valuable lessons that have stood me in good stead for the rest of my life. I learned how to make up a bed in the mornings, and I learned how to take care of my clothes, and I learned how to take care of my needs.
In addition to learning to read and write Braille and learning the other subjects that a sighted student would learn in public school, we had an extra year of schooling at the time. When I was 6 years old, I entered the kindergarten. Now, public school students enter kindergarten at age 5, but I received a superior education at the Governor Moorhead School, especially in the fields of music. I had private instruction in piano, organ, voice, and flute. These are opportunities that I would not have had if I hadn't been a student at the Governor Moorhead School. Also took industrial arts, in which I learned how to use power equipment, and most of my piano tuning training was from the Governor Moorhead School. And these are extremely valuable subjects for me to take. In fact, I learned how to type at the Governor Moorhead School, and for a blind person, especially a totally blind person, to write things that other people can read, typing was an extremely valuable thing to learn.
You were at Governor Moorhead both as a day student and as a residential student. Would you talk about the differences of those experiences?
I actually feel like I had the best of both worlds. I had, for the first 5 years, the opportunity to live on campus, and as hard as it was, and as much as I missed living at home, it was a great thing for me because I learned things that helped me in independent living skills that I would not have had to learn if I'd been living at home. Because when you have a blind child, and I suppose any other handicapped child could fall into that same category, the easiest way to get things done for that child is to do it for them rather than teach them how to do it. But fortunately, people have persisted in teaching me how to do things, and it's made me a much stronger person, a much more independent person. Then when I moved home, when we moved to Raleigh in 1960, this was the summer between my fourth and fifth grade years, I had the opportunity to go to the specialized school with specialized facilities to meet my needs, but yet live at home with my family in a normal family setting. So this is what I refer to as being the best of both worlds.
Any last thoughts, Dr. Bill?
Yes, Bob. I hope that they resolve the budget difficulties so that the Governor Moorhead School does not have to close and can continue serving blind and visually impaired students with its specialized facilities.
You have some good memories of those times.
It isn't just me. Myra DeBruel was a classmate of mine for a time and wrote a poem about some of her remembrances.
This little poem is called I Remember K Cottage, and it's just a few things that I remember learning while I was in K Cottage. One of those things, of course, was Braille. I remember the house mother saying, stand up or take them off, so I skated. And I remember that you can't sing or skate and cry at the same time. I also remember that we were supposed to pick up paper from the ground when most of us could not even see the ground. I remember the steam heat clanging the pipes early in the morning as if that heat was trying to either get in or get out. I remember the smell of ether. I remember the feel of a ruler across my bare bottom. Being overjoyed to receive snail mail. Large Christmas trees with bubble lights. Going to school on Thanksgiving. Acorns. Lots of acorns. Halo shampoo. Dolls with heads as hard as mine. Cane bottom rockers. That luggage room that always smelled of mothballs. City water. Brogans every sixth Friday. Afternoon naps. And meeting Ronnie Millsap.
And so ends another episode of Insights with Dr. Bill.
Did you know that in 1945, John Motley Moorhead III started the Moorhead Foundation to enhance the excellence of UNC Chapel Hill? As of 2006, the program has awarded over 2,600 students with four-year scholarships. And of the 24 Rhodes Scholars from UNC, 21 of them were Moorhead Scholars.
That's a continuing tribute to the memory of the man who was responsible for the founding of the Governor Moorhead School.
You know something, Bill? You do look a lot older than Dr. Bill did when he was a student there.
This is Jennifer Sullender, and welcome again to the TRRS Radio Theater on the air with another episode of
Blind Justice.
With Bill McClure, Jennifer Sullender, Myra DeBruhl, and Bob Martin. Our scene opens with Jennifer at the cafeteria awaiting Bill and Myra.
Table for one, ma'am?
No, my friends are coming, so that will be a table for three.
Your friends? You mean the same two that were in here before?
Yes.
Both of them?
Yes.
And the dog?
She wouldn't leave home without him.
She hasn't traded it in for a pony.
No, but she could borrow her friend's pony if you'd like.
Oh, no. That's quite all right. The dog is, sufficient.
I'll be sure to tell her how much you appreciate just her dog.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Suppose I leave the menus with you.
Thank you. Oh, look, they're coming now.
Oh, yes, so I see. Oh, I have another customer asking for me. I'll be right back.
Bill, Myra, over here.
Thanks.
Did he give us the table next to the window again?
Come on, Myra. The poor guy is trying.
I feel the menu here. Did he leave and then go to take care of somebody else?
Myra.
I'm good. I'll just put my menu right over here out of the way for a minute. Bill's got something he wants to tell you.
I'll put mine right over here. I was telling Myra what happened to me yesterday. You've got to hear this. This is so funny.
Okay, what is it?
Kimberly and I had stopped at the dry cleaners, and I was sitting in the passenger seat with my sunglasses on. We'd dropped off my suit. I'd spilled mayonnaise on it on Sunday, and I decided I didn't want to wear it looking like mayonnaise and dirty spots on it and everything. So I handed it to Kimberly, and she handed it in through the drive-in window. The attendant handed Kimberly the receipt. Kimberly handed it to me, and we were about to drive off, and the lady said, "It'll be ready this afternoon." I said, "Great! How much is it?" And she said, "It's on there." And Kimberly and I just laughed, and she said, "Daddy, quit laughing so loud. You're laughing right in my ear." I said, "Kimberly, I'm not laughing any harder than you are. You're laughing just as hard as I am." As we drove away, we were both laughing, but it was what happened next that was really hilarious.
Oh, now, come on, Bill. What could be funnier than mayonnaise on your suit, unless you add cheese and a dill pickle?
But Myra, his suit is wool, not rye.
Oops, sorry. I couldn't see the difference.
Okay, Bill. What happened next?
Well, she and I went to have lunch, and after we finished, I asked her where the garbage can was. You want to guess what she said?
It's right over there.
That's exactly what she said. And then we sat there and laughed over that. Can you imagine? My own daughter.
Well, you know, Bill, the prophet is not without honor, except in his own country.
And especially in his own home.
Things like that happen to you, Myra?
Well, as a matter of fact, they do. I mean, just the other day I was at the gym, and at the gym I asked them to let me put Braille on their machines, especially the elliptical. That's my favorite. Well, they only let me put Braille on one, so it was my favorite machine. You would be amazed. People don't want to give over the Braille machine. I mean, you'd think they would, but they don't. I mean, I guess they got their stride going. You go and you tap them on the arm, and they act like you're not even standing there. So this happened one day, and I asked the lady for the machine, and she said, "You can have it when I'm done." So I reluctantly got on the machine next to her with no Braille and operated the best I could, and I was doing pretty good. So I was just going right along, and I love to hear my iPod like most people do when you're working out, and I'm playing contemporary Christian music, and so I start to sing because I love to sing, and I'm singing, praise the Lord, let the earth... And somebody tapped me on the shoulder, the lady on the other machine, and she said, "Shh, don't sing." So I got quiet for a minute, and then another minute I started again. Praise the Lord. And she tapped me again, and she said, "I said don't sing." I said, "Okay, I heard you. But you know what? Every machine in here causes me to sing, except that one." So she said, okay, you can have it. So we changed machines, and I'm getting on that machine. She said, now don't sing. I said, I won't. And when I get up on the machine, get ready to go, she says, now you promised you don't sing. I said, I won't. I don't sing on this one. I pray on this one.
Myra, it sounds to me like you rather enjoyed yourself.
Oh, no. I was really just listening to the music.
Right.
Well, maybe just a little.
Myra.
All right. Yes, it felt good. Be honest, Bill. Wouldn't you like to do something like that sometimes?
Well...
Come on. What would you do?
Well, I once thought it would be funny to go into a car dealership, and when the salesman came up to me and asked, can I help you? I'd say, do you have this model with a Braille steering wheel?
That is funny, Bill.
It gets better. I imagine him saying, but blind people can't drive.
And what did you say to that?
I said, really? Then why do they have Braille keypads at the drive-through window at the bank?
And what does he say to that?
He says, just let me go ask the manager.
And then?
He never comes back.
And then I could go down to the DMV office and tell them that I was there to take my eye test to renew my driver's license.
That would thrill them.
Oh, yes. He'd probably say something like, but you're blind.
And then you'd say, yes, but my dog isn't.
Oh, better than that. I'd reach down and grab Migo's head and ask him to read the smallest line on the sign and then whisper it to me.
And then?
Then I'd tell the officer that smallest line read, copyright Charlotte, 2010.
And then?
He'd say, I have to go talk to his supervisor. And he'd never come back.
What do you say, Bill? Let's really do some of those things.
No. It's fun to think about it, but we shouldn't really make someone feel uncomfortable just to have fun.
No, you're right. It would make them feel bad.
Yes, although sometimes you'd like to.
Are you ready to order? Oh, I left the menus on the table. Have you seen them?
They're right over there.
But you're pointing in two different directions.
Oops, Bill, where did you put your menu?
Right over here. And where did you put yours?
Right over here. Our bad.
No. My bad. And thank you for being patient. And you know something? This was funny. And separate checks, right?
And so ends another episode of...
Blind Justice. Conversations. The Voices of TRRS.
Today we are speaking with Shandu Jackson. Shandu, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Just to start out, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name's Shandu Jackson. I'm originally from Fayetteville, North Carolina. I moved here I moved here in 1992. I've been here 20 years now. And I came here to go to school originally. NC State, go Wolfpack. Big NC State fan. When I came here, originally started out as an engineer and kind of piddled with that for a few years and when I was in school and left that and decided to, a friend of mine said, hey, you know, there's this thing called sport management. Don't you want to do that? And I was like, hey, I love sports. I always wanted to do sports. So I ended up changing my major to that. And 13 years later, I graduated from college. I've been in and out for those years. So that's kind of how that ended up. And during the time frame, and I was working with the city of Raleigh, I was a supervisor of the softball complex for a long time. I did that for 12 years, and then I was the assistant director at Marsh Creek Community Center. I did that for 2.5 years.
Wow, in sports management, I'm sure you had some interesting experiences.
Oh, I had some great ones. Oh, man, I worked in the athletics department, and that was my main job, was adult athletics in the softball complex. And a friend of mine said a long time ago that, you know, sports will bring out the worst in people. And it'll bring out the best, too, but I saw a lot of the worst and had some great stories that go along with that. You know, everything from people getting tossed out of games due to cursing the officials out, fight, girlfriends showing up to their husband's softball games while another girlfriend is there, gets kind of fun. And, of course, I work next door to the Walnut Creek Amphitheater, so sometimes we had concerts going on at the same time. And people would go over there, and we'd have hippies and all the wonderful stuff and all the people coming over and using the bathroom all over the place and beer cans everywhere. And so it was pretty interesting. It was a lot of fun for a lot of years. A lot of fun.
Do you have any other hobbies?
Well, I collect toys. It's kind of strange, I know, but I love toys. I've always been a big toy fan. So I collect toys. I used to collect comic books. I like to collect things. I'm just my fiance calls me a pack rat, and I have so much stuff. I have magazines, books, toys, all sorts of stuff, comic books, coins. I like to read a lot. I love sports. I'm a huge football fan, diehard NFL fan. I'm a Raiders fan. I know. I'm transposed. I know.
Well, back to your toys. Do you have a favorite toy that you've collected?
No, I don't have a favorite. I have so many toys, I don't even know what I have anymore. I have boxes and boxes stacked in closets, and I mean, I have tons of toys. I haven't bought any recently. My fiance doesn't like it when I buy a whole bunch, but it used to be I'd spend a few hundred dollars, you know, a week in toys, and then I stopped doing that. So now I just sit back and just watch TV now.
And how did you become involved with TRRS?
Well, I've known about Triangle Radio Reading for a long time. My fiance, her cousin, went to the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind. And at the time when he went, he was actually going to be the first student to graduate with a true high school diploma from there. But he did not do that. He decided to move to Florida, and he went to Florida and graduated from high school there that next year. So I've known about the service for a long time. And so I decided to do this. I thought it was something very nice to do, and I wanted to read for people, and like I said, I enjoy reading, and I do voiceover stuff too, so I was like, hey, this is good practice. This is good.
For whom do you do the voiceovers?
Myself. I have a home studio, I have a mini home studio, and do a little bit here and there, and I haven't done a lot of work, and if anybody knows any work for me, if anybody needs a voiceover artist, I'm here.
You know, when you go through your training here, you're told, don't editorialize, just read what's written. Now you have a chance. If you were able to say something to one of the listeners, what would you tell them?
First thing I would say, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the station. We really appreciate it, and I appreciate you listening to my show. I read the USA Today live on the second and fourth Wednesdays with my partner, Wonder Dixon. She's wonderful. I love Wonder Dixon, but I read with her, and I've been doing that for almost 2 years now. I've been doing that. We would like to know what you think about it. Give us a call here. You know, the number is 919-832-5138. Let us know what you think about Wonder and myself. I think we do a good job.
Well, thank you very much, Shadu.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.
Also with us today, Mark Lee. Mark, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
To start out, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, Bob. I was born in Johnston County. I am 41 years old, and my educational background is I graduated in 2010 from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, with a degree in communication studies.
And what have you been doing since graduation?
I was a security officer, and now I'm looking for work in the public relations background industry or radio and TV.
And do you have any hobbies?
Yes, Bob. I actually like to run. I'm a former marathon runner, and I'm actually getting back into that. And I also weightlift and read books.
Marathon runner?
Yes.
What's been your best finish?
The first year I did it, it was 6 hours, and I actually finished the entire race.
And where was this race run?
It was run in Raleigh, North Carolina in December 2000.
And how did you become involved with TRRS?
I received a business card, and I decided to call and find out more information about TRS, and it's a great organization to be involved in.
And how long have you been involved?
For about 1 month now.
Just 1 month?
Yes.
So you don't have a regular program yet?
No, but I'm looking forward to and getting to know more about TRS.
So far, has your experience been with recordings or with live broadcasts?
So far, my experience has been with live broadcasts with USA Today in the evenings. I would be interested also in magazines and book reading.
Is there something you'd like to say to the listeners?
Cheers, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, Mark.
This is Jennifer Sullender, and welcome again to the TRRS Radio Theater on the air with another episode of
Blind Justice.
With Bill McClure, Jennifer Sullender, Myra DeBruhl, and Bob Martin. Our scene opens with Bill and Jennifer seated at their favorite cafe. You're getting to like this cafe, aren't you, Bill?
Yes, I am. You were right. Food is very good.
And the waiter is getting better.
You were right about that, too. He is trying. And he even has the separate checks down pat now.
Here he comes now.
Good morning. Good to see you again. And to get started, one regular and one decaf plain.
You remembered.
Yes, sir. I'll be right back with them. Nice and hot.
How about that, Bill? I told you he was trying.
I am truly amazed.
Here you are. And is the lady coming today?
She'll be here in a few minutes.
Good. I'll have one decaf with no sugar and a little cream ready.
Thank you very much.
Pardon me?
Yes?
The gentleman.
What can I do for you?
Are you Bill McClure?
Yes, I am.
And you're on that radio program from the Triangle Radio Reading Service.
And so is the lady who is going to join us, Myra DeBruhl.
Oh, my. Two of them.
You've listened to it?
On the Internet. You know, I've learned an awful lot about blindness from that program. I didn't realize the kind of things you have to put up with all the time. And I learned what the title of the program means. Take my arm. It's about leading a person, not grabbing them and pushing them. And I heard you talk about how to help a blind person into a car. Before I heard you, I would have opened the car door.
It saves a lot of bruised noses the other way.
And I would have reached across and tried to buckle you in. I realize now that you may need help once in a while, but you're not helpless.
No, we're not.
And some of those situations you mentioned where someone expects you to know everything a person with good eyesight knows? I was like that, wasn't I?
Not really. There were some things you didn't know. But like my friend has said several times, he's trying.
Wait until you see this. Oops, sorry.
Oh, don't be. I want you to use the same language around me as you would use anywhere. See doesn't always mean to look at.
Okay, then wait until you see this. Ta-da! Your menu, sir.
Why, this is in Braille.
A special courtesy for our special guests.
How did you get this done?
Well, I heard you talk about the Governor Morehead School and found they have a department for services to the blind that will transcribe things into Braille. Just thank Susan Barnes and Marjorie Hurd.
I think we'll start out by thanking you. Oh, here comes Myra.
You stay seated, ma'am. Let me. Welcome, ma'am. Good to see you again. And if you and Migo are looking for your friends, well, they're right over there.
And so ends another episode of...
No, wait a minute. You can't end the episode now. Give me another chance.
Okay. And so here doesn't end another episode of... Blind Justice.
Oh, thank you. Yes, ma'am. Let me take you to them. Will you take my arm?
Thank you, but that isn't necessary for somebody with a guide dog. You lead the way, and we will follow.
Here we are, ma'am. Just make yourself comfortable, and I'll be right back with a decaf, no sugar, and a little cream.
Thank you. Bill, what's going on?
He's trying.
And wait until he gets back. You are in for quite a surprise.
What?
Just wait.
Here's your coffee, ma'am. And a special bowl of water for Migo.
You remembered his name.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And would it be all right for me to pet him? I noticed that, too. And a doggy treat for him. Oh, if that's all right.
He would like that. And thank you for asking. Lots of people don't like their dogs to have treated or be petted. But Migo would really like that.
Well, thank you. Here you go, Migo. Enjoy. And now, ma'am, Your menu. This one you won't put right over there.
It's in Braille.
And everything on it is a special. I'll be back for your order in just a minute.
That's more than trying. What's happened?
He's been listening to us on the TRRS radio program, Take My Arm, and he's really paying attention to what he hears.
He was telling us about what I said about acting as a guide and helping a blind person into a car.
And now he's learned about assisting someone with a guide dog. They lead and the dog will follow.
Okay, folks, but remember, we're here for the cooking.
Are you ready to order?
Yes, I think so.
Now that you can read the whole menu, what would you like to have?
Other than the Western omelet, I think I'll order everything on the menu.
And what you don't finish?
I'll have him put it in a doggy bag.
No, you won't. This kind of stuff isn't on his diet. Besides, he couldn't eat all these leftovers in a week.
Well, then, Migo could put what he doesn't finish back in a people bag.
Bill.
What's the matter? We wouldn't recognize it.
I don't know these people.
You know something? Now, that is really funny. Are you going to use that in one of your programs?
Just keep listening.
And here's your change. Will there be anything else? A doggy bag?
No doggy bag.
Oh, don't worry. This bag only has a couple of doggy treats in it for when you choose.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go.
Allow me, Mr. McClure.
Just Bill.
Bill, would you take my arm?
With pleasure.
And Migo will follow along?
Yes, he will.
Thank you for coming in today, and if I may, compliments of the restaurant. We'd like to make a contribution to help keep Take My Arm on the air.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. This will be of great help.
I think not as much help as you've been for me.
Bill, remember a few weeks back we joked about bringing our whole group down here?
Yes.
I think we had better do it for real.
I agree.
Ma'am, do you remember how I was the first time you brought your dog in?
Yes.
Boy, was I wrong. No, it's even in the law. I looked it up. General Statute 68.
Good for you.
Am I the only one like that?
No, that happens to me all the time. In fact, there is a young lady from the Lions Club Center that went into a restaurant with her guide dog and was told that since she was being accompanied by her sighted husband, she couldn't bring her dog in.
Oh, I'm glad I wasn't the only one. But if you do come in next Saturday, could you do me a favor?
Anything we can.
Well, we have a new assistant manager who, frankly, is a bit of a stick in the mud. And I'd like to have him meet Margaret.
I don't understand.
I do. He could probably deal with Migo.
Right. But a seeing-eye pony?
Now that ends another episode of
Blind Justice.
How about a visit from Professor Bill?
It's time now for Outside the Box with Professor Bill. The problem. In olden times, two travelers were walking down a road. They met a third traveler, and since they were headed in the same direction, they walk along together. Comes time for supper and the party sits down to eat, only the third traveler has brought no food with him. He offers to pay if the other two will share with him, which they agree to do. One traveler has brought 5 loaves of bread, and the other has brought 7 loaves. The loaves are divided equally among the three men. After supper, the third traveler places $12 on the table. The amount is more than generous, but the two original travelers cannot agree on how the money should be divided. What is the fair division of the $12?
Well, this seems pretty straightforward. Each gave some loaves, so they split the money, 50-50, $6 each.
I'm sure that is what one of the men suggested, but one man put 7 loaves on the table,
and the other only 5.
Ooh, that's right. One gave more than the other, so he should receive more money.
But how much more?
Well, there were 12 loaves and $12. That's a dollar a loaf. So one guy gets $5, and the other one gets 7.
I'm sure the other man suggested that solution, but is that fair?
Well, probably not.
And why do you think it's not fair?
Because the men were not satisfied with either answer. So there must be another solution.
Clever answer, Bob. And as a matter of fact, there is a better solution. The first two travelers should be compensated not for what they put on the table, but for what they actually gave away.
What did they give away?
The number of loaves that they didn't actually eat themselves. One man put 5 loaves on the table, but he ended up eating 4 of them himself. So he actually only gave away 1 loaf.
Oh, I get it. And the other man started out with 7, but after he ate his share, he only gave away 3 loaves.
So of the 4 loaves eaten by the third traveler, one man gave 1/4, and the other man gave 3/4. So one man gets 1/4 of the money, and the other man gets 3/4.
$3 and $9. Now, that's fair.
Another solution, thanks to creative thinking from... Outside the Box. Any last thoughts?
Yes. You can't have everything, but it's just as well. Where would you put it all?
That's about it for this week. This is Bill McClure, and thank you for listening in to another edition of Take My Arm.
This is Richard Dunnigan. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and is prepared with the assistance of print and visually impaired volunteers.
And this is Bob Martin. We invite your comments about this program and any of the programs that are being offered by TRRS. Please call us at 919-832-5138. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you could assist us in keeping our programming on the air with a pledge of financial assistance, please call the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The number is 919-832-5138. Until next time,
goodbye.